Pentecost last week. It was such a great morning and evening that we had. For me, it was just one of the most memorable and really moving Pentecost Sundays that I can remember. And someone had a word in pre-service prayer a few weeks back that God wanted to revive and restore and refresh here in the church, and we're seeing that happen. And in the evening, you know, there were just so many people up here praying, seeking the Lord, praying for one another, weeping and crying out to the Lord with, you know, people with arms around each other praying, young and old, and friends and couples watching, you know, veteran saints lay hands on young people, and young people lay hands on and pray for others. It was a beautiful picture, really, of Acts 2 in action. At one point, I was just, you know, praying and seeking the Lord, and I felt a hand on one side, and it was one of our older saints in her 80s praying and prophesying over me, and then I felt a hand on the other side. I thought it was actually the same person, but it turned out it was a young, one of our female teens praying on that side, and then there's, you know, middle-aged male me in the middle, and just for the record, much closer to the 17-year-old, just in case you're wondering. But stuff like that was just happening all through the night. And in fact, one of our high school students came up to me afterward and said, "When's the next prayer and worship night? That was so awesome," which is just so encouraging. Can I just say how much I love this church and just how proud I am of this church, and encouraged by the way you really leaned into Pentecost, made it something special. We had almost double the amount of people this Pentecost compared to Pentecost just last year, and we went over 400 people for a non-Easter Sunday for the first time ever in the history of the church. And, you know, I have so many dreams or ideal pictures of what I hope for a church to be like, and I know it all takes time and work, and we never fully arrive, of course, on this side of heaven, but my passion is for people to live and revolve their lives around the God story, to where they get way more excited and into a day like Pentecost than they do, say, Canada Day. And as great as Canada Day is, I love it. I'll be celebrating with you. That's not the story I live my life by, or where I find my identity or passion, right? That kind of loyalty is reserved for Jesus and his church. So hopefully you now get more excited, actually, to wear red on Pentecost Sunday, even than you do on Canada Day. So I'm not quite ready to move on from Pentecost. Just as we did some messages about living the post-Easter life after Easter, I'd like to follow up last week's message with one more on living the post-Pentecost life, particularly living it together in the church, as the church, because that's what Pentecost is all about. Like most of the Bible, it's not about individual believers and their individual relationship with God. It's about a people that God is forming for himself together as his own. Right? The purpose of the church is not to form individual persons as much as it is about forming a community of people. Character formation best happens in relationships, not in isolation. Theologian James Houston says, in fact, that there is no such thing as personal maturity, but only social maturity, where we are responsible for each other's collective maturity. So what does that look like? Well, look no further than the post-Pentecost church. And last week I introduced from Acts 2 these seven markers of appeal of the church at Pentecost. And we looked specifically at Numbers 3 and 4 and discovered that inwardly the church at Pentecost shared all things in common. But then outwardly they took care of those in need. Can't believe I forgot my new free mug. And this all led to my focus for today, which is that they experienced close relationships and joy. It says every day, verse 46, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. That was their church at that point. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. So if there's one thing we know about the early church, it's that they met together often. They did it a lot. They didn't just become Christians and then go on living their individual lives. It's why it's an oxymoron to say, I'm a Christian, but not really a church person. Even though I meet those people almost every week, it's amazing how many are out there. And I don't want to get sidetracked about something that I can't do much about. Those who have withdrawn themselves from the gathered witness of God's sacred church, I have to leave that in God's hands. But I want to focus on encouraging those who are pressing into the witness of the church, like the early post-Pentecost church. I mean, these people, they loved God and others so much that they were together nearly every day. But not just together as in casually hanging out and playing board games or, being a wine tasting club. Just doing that, of course, would not be true Christian community. They gathered with a purpose, namely to serve others and their surrounding community in love. Notice verse 46 here about their close relationships with others. Notice how it's sandwiched in between two outward and more missional activities of taking care of those in need in our community, and then how they had favor with people around them. And this led to much joy because, paradoxically, life is actually much more joyful when you make it about others. It's scientifically proven, even though God's word has already told us that. And it's why one of the four key activities or pillars of life groups is we connect, yes, we pray, yes, we learn, yes, but then we also serve together in our groups. And out of all those, I would say the thing that bonds believers together really the most is when we serve together. And I love recent stories of life groups who, for example, organized, cooked, and served the entire newcomer's lunch that we had a few weeks ago, or life groups getting together to make sandwiches together for those in need, or doing the coldest night of the year walk together, or one of the life groups was really involved in helping with the mini flood we had last Saturday and called on each other coming in and bringing fans and all that. That's where relationships are truly deepened. That's why I always say that the people I'm closest with, that I really share the deepest bonds with, are people I serve together with, right? Not just the people I hang out with. It's the people I roll up my sleeves with and, we agree together, let's do something of significance that actually requires something of us. Will it be hard? Yeah. Will it inconvenience our lives? Yes. Will we clash sometimes because we're doing deep, meaningful work of the heart that really matters more than just having coffee and taking a walk together? Yeah. But at the end of the day, the bonds made when serving together are so deep. That's why my answer for anyone who ever ask for mentorship or discipleship is always, sure, let's do it. Let's serve together. That's always the best way. Sometimes by mentorship or discipleship, I think people have in mind that, two people will get together every week at Starbucks and read a book together. And they're disappointed to hear that it actually might take some work, some sacrifice, coming early and staying late at a service to serve others, or showing up to minister at an evening service, or going out into the community or to a care home service to do simple acts of love that few will ever know about. Because discipleship is, let's climb the mountain together right? Not let's just stand at the bottom of the mountain and talk about how we can climb the mountain, right? No, let's do it. And then we'll talk along the way as we're doing it. And that's where our bonds and relationships will grow and how we'll learn. And that's how Jesus approached it with his disciples and really anyone that wanted to be his disciple. Read the stories. But he said in various situations in different ways that, you know, you're going to have to leave your financial security, your idea of a perfect family, kind of put your dreams aside and come and be my disciple, he says. Great example of this is I love how Thomas, our family pastor, he often takes the youth with him when he goes out to visit people in the church or serve others in the community. And that's how he's mentoring and discipling them. And I can promise you that that is more impactful on their spiritual formation than almost anything else that they do together. But in serving God and God's people and God's world, we find that they had great joy, it says here, and gladness when they did this because they were doing something of significance. And there's nothing more boring to me, to be blunt, than listening to conversations that tend to mainly revolve around two things. And this observation comes from decades of working in coffee shops, and just listening to conversations that go on, especially in the Parksville-Qualicum area. So hundreds of pieces of anecdotal evidence here. And those two things are renovations and vacations or trips. And those things are fine. I love vacations and trips. I love to travel. I love to see new things. I don't mind improving some home spaces from time to time. But if our life and conversations begin to revolve around those two things, which in my experience a lot does, I can assure you it will not lead to an Acts 2 type of bond shared between believers. A while back, I asked a neighbor how his cruise was, and his answer has sort of haunted me for years. Here's how he described it. He described it to me in two words. He said, elegant boredom. Now, I've been on a cruise, and I think they're awesome and a lot of fun, although it's been a long time. But the point I'm trying to make is I've never heard someone describe serving others that way. Or get back from a missions trip and say, it was kind of boring. Even though those things are harder than a cruise, people are usually filled with deeper joy afterwards from serving others more than being served, which is exactly what Jesus taught. I mean, lots of Canadians travel, take vacations, work on their dream homes. And yet, do you know 6 in 10 Canadians say they feel lonely and disconnected from community? It's not working. That's no surprise because 75 years ago, almost 70% of Canadians regularly worshiped in a church, one of the highest rates in the world at that time. That percentage is now about 10% or less. It's one of the lowest rates. Data suggests there's a connection between higher rates of worship service attendance and serving others and lower rates of loneliness and isolation. The roots of Pentecost are about bringing and bonding and binding people of a diverse group of people together under the leadership of the Spirit and them experiencing authentic relationship with each other and deep and genuine joy together. I recently sat down with two couples from our church and found out they've been meeting together every Monday to pray and to dream about ways to connect people better with the life of the church, understanding this epidemic of loneliness around us. There are other people who come in every week and they pray over each and every one of these chairs before Sunday, because they want people so desperately to know the joy of knowing Jesus and belonging to his forever family. So how can you take some steps in this area? Well, in front of you is this serve card, which represents a little bit of what we're talking about. There is at least a first step. There's also a next step card in front of you, which has some, next steps. And although it's not the best time of year to, say, join a life group, as most are on pause until September, you can certainly indicate that you want to join one, and therefore we'll get you on the list and get ready. But as we talked about last week, we're launching new ways to serve our community that are going to need more people. But I know that it is going to increase our joy together. It's going to be harder than what we're doing now. So for our Good Food expansion, as the number of bags grow, which I believe they will, we're going to need more Thursday drivers because there's going to be more bags. We're going to need more hosts on Thursdays to interact with people, to show hospitality or do behind-the-scenes work. So we want to get these teams ready as we expect things to really snowball a bit come the fall. We'll also need donors to make it happen and to help keep it going. So our goal is to double the amounts of bags picked up here in person by Christmas. So that would be moving from about 50 to 60 right now to 100 plus. And actually, I have my sights set on 150 bags a week. So for $40 a month, you could cover the cost of a reduced bag for a family. So maybe you just want to set that up as automatic monthly giving on our website in addition to your regular tithes and gifts. You can mark it Good Food or Care Fund. Or for $500 a year, you could cover a whole entire family's reduced bag. Or just for the next 6 months, which is our pilot program through the end of the year, $250 would cover one whole family. As a part of our increased investment, I'm so excited to announce that we've hired a Good Food director. And so that is our very own Jenna Stavroff. And give her a hand. And she'll be helping expand our reach and develop volunteers and teams and better systems in order to serve others as this program grows. Also, a part of our emphasis on serving one another and others, we're pleased to announce kind of the more official status now as Harry Foster as our welcome team lead on Sundays. And give him a hand too. He'll be replacing Steph, who still works here, but just not on Sundays anymore, and will just be working during the week. And as a part of that ministry, which is one of the most important ministries of the church, we'll need more. We'll need more greeters. We'll need more hosts. We're going to be expanding all of these areas. We're going to need more coffee people. You're going to see a new coffee setup out there that's going to help us serve others better coming soon. Welcome team, setup, security. So fill out a serve card. And so that we can prepare and train you this summer and therefore get you in the rotation going forward as we move into the fall. Why should you consider any of this? Why give up some other things in order to serve? Because hopefully you believe, as Russell Moore says, that the church is worth loving and fighting for. It's worth it. The early post-Pentecost church certainly believed that. I mean, read Acts. It wasn't perfect. There was tension. There were a few disputes. There were some hard decisions. But the church is worth it because it's Jesus' church, and Jesus is worth it. And as we've learned, the resurrection teaches us that our acts of love and of service will continue on over into eternity, and it's all going to matter, and it's all going to be worth it. The church, and particularly the post-Pentecost church, is such a beautiful thing. I know we've messed it up from time to time. I know some of you have probably been hurt by some in the church. I understand that. But when functioning well, there's nothing like it. It propels us into true post-Easter, post-Pentecost living, the things we've been talking about over the last few months. Let me give kind of a closing word to Martin Luther. He said this. He said, "At home in my own house, there is no warmth or vigor in me, kind of just referring to his spiritual life. But in the church, when the multitude is gathered together, a fire is kindled in my heart, and it breaks its way through. That is, it wakes me up to serve the world around me in love. We experienced some of that fire last Sunday, and really every Sunday. So as the music team comes, let's allow that fire to be kindled and to break through. I believe the Lord is going to speak to many right now just as we sing, to give vision and insight into where he is calling you to serve and to give and to love others. And as we sing this song, "Let Us Be the Church," you can take action to that prayer right now by filling out a serve card as we sing, if you haven't yet done so. So would you stand with me? And I'm praying God will give words and pictures for us together as a church during this time, and we'll provide some time after the song for that. So just be sensitive to what the Lord is doing and saying, and if the Lord is speaking a word for building up an encouragement to the church. But let's pray and sing together that the Lord would make us into the people that he desires us to be.